Good morning. Welcome to each of you. It's good to be together. I've been sharing a number of messages about I need Jesus, and I suppose I could probably go on with these as long as I preach, because there's so many reasons why I need Jesus. But I want to confess and declare this morning that I need Jesus because I need strength. And you notice the verse up there says, "My strength is made perfect in weakness," from 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. So you see there's something going on here that's not quite what we usually think. Because weakness becomes the key to receiving strength. Now, I'd like to ask you this morning, how many people here are weak? How many people are strong? Come on. Yeah, strong. Okay. One of the things that we prize is strength. Weakness is looked down on in our society, in our culture. We talk about someone that has come from nowhere, started with nothing, and they've ended up with a lot. They've ended up in a place that we call a good place, and we look at a person like that and we often admire and speak about them. But I'd like for us this morning to stop and look at what God says about this whole thing of weakness and strength. Now, when we talk about weakness and strength, we can talk about it in a number of ways. We can talk about physical strength. We can talk about emotional strength. We can talk about spiritual strength or weakness, all of these. So you know, we can apply these in a number of different ways. But I want us to think this morning about how this applies to our lives. Not going, Joshua. Okay, let's ask ourselves our questions. Still not going. Do I admit to weakness? Now, one of the things that as Christians we do is we will say, yeah, you know, I'll raise my hand, yeah, I'm weak. But when we admit to weakness, we're admitting that we need help, right? Because if I'm strong, I can do it myself. So when we stop and think about this, yeah, it's easy to put up our hand and say, I'm weak, but what do we do about it? What are we going to do with it? We're going to say, yeah, I'm weak. Sorry, I don't need your help. I got this. I can make it. Where does this all come out at? Okay? So we want to, we've got to ask ourselves, how strong am I? So we look at ourselves and we say, well, just really how strong am I? I can do this, I can do this, I can do this. And I'm guessing that you, like me, look at yourself without even knowing it. By the way we live, we consider ourselves to be strong. Stop and think about this a little bit. When do we go to God for help? Usually when we get to a really tough spot that we can't handle, right? So already we're saying, today I'm strong, God. I got this. I don't need your help. And all of a sudden something comes along. We say, God, help, help, help. Right now I'm weak. I got to have some Got to have somebody stronger than me, right? How do you measure your strength? You know, when we're talking about physical strength, we talk about how much we can lift or how much we can move or what all we can do. For Josh, it's how far he can run and how fast. For each of us, there's different measures. When it comes to spiritual strength, what is the measure of our strength? One of the songs we sang, just sang, says, I think of my blessed Redeemer, I think of Him all the day long. I sing, for I cannot be silent, His love is a theme of my song. Oh, sounds good, right? Really? The other verse said, it just fills me with happiness to know Jesus. So we sing these songs and, you know, we're expressing strength. But is it real? Or is it something that we've devised our own measurement from? What can we do to increase strength? Well, physically, we got to exercise. You know, we don't eat more and rest more and get stronger, do we? It doesn't happen. There's some things that have to happen in order for us to become stronger. And one of the first things that has to happen is that we have to admit that there's some weakness, right? I just can't quite do this. I gotta have help. I got to work at this. I've got to increase my strength. So when we look at this and think of the spiritual aspect of it, we need to remind ourselves, you know what? I have to admit my weakness spiritually if I am going to receive strength. One of the sad things is about church. Is we come and we put this big smile on our face and we tell everybody around us that we're strong. And inside, we know we're weak, but we're not going to admit it. So where's that going to go? Is that going to increase our strength? No, it's not going to. So, we're thinking about all these things about strength and weakness. One of the things, and I've shared a little bit of this before, one of the things that happened to me, because I was a person who felt like I had a lot of strength. I had physical strength. I had emotional strength. I thought I was able to keep a straight face and an unemotional face in a lot of things. I felt like I was strong spiritually. One day, through a process of things, I came to a place where all of a sudden it hit me in the face. This is something I am not able to do anything about. I am not able to work my way through this. I am not able to change the circumstances. I am not able to do anything about this at all. And when that happened, all of a sudden I realized I was depending on my own strength to get me through life. That was a rude awakening, and I thank God for His mercy in showing me that. Because out of that, I realized how weak, how helpless I really am. And out of that, I found myself looking to God for strength and finding strength in my own heart, in my own life that I had never known before. And I'm so grateful, so thankful to God for doing that in my life. Am I weak? Here's David, Psalm 6, verse 2. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. Now, stop and think about it. Here's David. David killed a lion and a bear with his bare hands. Anybody want to volunteer? Yeah. So here's this guy that could rip a bear and a lion apart and save the sheep. And he's saying, God, I'm weak. God, I'm weak. Help me. And I like to think about this picture because David and Goliath give us a really good picture. We think about David as someone strong. He killed a lion. He killed a bear. He was ready to go face Goliath. But I think as we look at this morning, and I want us to see this picture in our mind, here's David. He's probably a late teenager, somewhere in there. And here he is. He comes and he hears this man Goliath defy God. Now, you remember who was king? Who was king? Saul. What was there about Saul? You remember there was one thing that the Bible mentions specifically when it first talks about Saul as being chosen to be king. He was head and shoulders above everybody else. So here's this Saul, he's a big dude, right? Bigger than all the rest of Israel. He's not going out to Goliath, no. And so it was with all the rest of these soldiers that stood up and said how strong they were when they were doing their exercises and all of this stuff. You know, we're going to take these Philistines out. What happened? All of a sudden, they're all over here. Not me, no, not me. And here's David. David's smaller than Saul, enough that when he tried his armor on, it doesn't work. It just flops around. He can't use it. But I want us to notice something here. And I thought about this in David's life. We see it over and over. David is continually coming to the Lord and saying, Lord, I'm weak. I need your strength. And so David wasn't ripping those lions and bears apart because he was so strong. He wasn't Samson. He was David. He wasn't out there ready to face Goliath because he was such a good soldier. No. He was out there because he was weak and his God was strong. So he says, I'm weak, God. I'm weak. Help me. Help me, God. Why might I be weak? Psalm 109, verse 26. My knees are weak through fasting. David was seeking God. And he was to the point of weakness, physical weakness, because he was seeking God with all of his heart. Enough that he wasn't even eating and probably drinking. Because he was seeking God, because he recognized his weakness and he saw that weakness. Now, Isaiah 53 talks about weak hands, feeble knees, fearful heart. Those are all weaknesses. But he says, so say to those that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Now, fear is weakness, right? We see these signs all the time. No fear, no fear. Yeah, right. What guys are saying with that is, I'm not weak, I'm strong. These things are not going to bother me. Say to those, be strong, your God will come. Okay? So, which am I, weak or strong? Joel chapter 3, verse 10 says, beat your plowshares into swords, your pruning hooks into spears, and let the weak say, I am strong. So is he just telling us that we got to be some kind of positive thinkers, and so I'm going to stand up here, and I know that I'm scared to death, but I'm going to say, I'm strong. No, that's not what he's saying. He's saying, when you trust God, when you're following God, when God's on your side, you're strong, right? Let's just look at some of this. I want us to notice something. When God is looking out through all the earth, what's He looking for? And what is He choosing? He looking out and He's saying, ooh, now that guy there, he is strong. I mean, he's pressing 300 pounds and, you know, he is fit. He just, you know, I think I can use him. Probably not. Unless there's something going on inside the guy's heart that's different than that. Look at 1 Corinthians 1:27. God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Ooh, wait a minute. That sounds a lot like David. Here's Goliath. This guy is strong. I mean, super strong. And super big. But here comes David, and he confounds the Philistines. God uses someone who is weak to confound the mighty. My weakness allows me to receive strength. 2 Corinthians 12:30. Paul's talking here and he's saying, look, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. This is the Apostle Paul. You know, the guy that handkerchiefs that he touched could be sent to people and the people would touch them and they'd be healed. This is that guy. You say, strong spiritually, right? But here's what he says. I enjoy difficulties in my life. Why? Because when I am weak, then I'm strong. What was he saying? We'll see some more what he says. But he's telling us that he had learned that when he was weak, when he faced difficult situations and he knew there was no way for him to survive, and he laid it on the Lord, and the Lord gave him strength, then he was good. When I am weak, then I am strong. So, one of the things that we mentioned earlier that we're looking at in this is we've got to admit that we're weak, that we're not able to handle this. And you read stories of persecuted brothers and sisters. They will tell you they were not strong. They were weak. And when they confessed that weakness and laid that weakness on the Lord gave them strength. Miraculous strength. Strength to overcome. Strength of boldness. Strength to speak in difficult times. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. Weakness is the seed of power. And it's interesting that Paul talks so much about all of this. He just keeps bringing this up in different settings. Here he's talking about resurrection, 1 Corinthians 15:43. It says, it's sown in dishonor, it's raised in glory. It's sown in weakness, it's raised in power. sown in weakness, raised in power. You and I, unless we're sown in weakness, unless we're planted in weakness, we are not going to come forth in power. That's where we struggle. That's where most of us face our problems. We are not going to be weak. We're not going to be weak. We're not going to admit to it. We're not going to reduce ourselves or belittle ourselves and admit that we're weak. We are strong. I'll handle this. I'll deal with this. It's not going to get me down. It's not going to take me. God's strength is matured in our weakness. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. This is when Paul had asked the Lord to remove this thorn in the flesh. And God said, "My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness." And this is what Paul says then. "Most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmities." I'll be happy that I got this thorn in the flesh because it's going to produce the power of Christ in my life. That sound pretty American Christian? No, I'm going for the security and the comfort, right? That's where I'm at. Paul says, no. I'm going for insecurity and discomfort. It's not that he's chasing those, but he's thankful for those when they come into his life because they cause him to rest in Christ. And then he has power. The power of Christ may rest upon me. Christ showed us the path to strength. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 4. This is Paul just over and over bringing up this theme of weakness and strength. And I want you to pay attention to this. This is talking about Jesus. Though he was crucified through weakness. He was crucified through weakness. He had laid down all of his strength. And he was crucified. Yet he lives by the power of God. So we saw Jesus Christ crucified. We saw him resurrected through the power of God. Death couldn't hold him. The grave couldn't keep him. He had power. But he came into that power through weakness. Now, he brings that over to us. We also are weak in him. Did you ever stop to think that when you really pray, it's an expression of weakness? It's an expression of need. You know why we don't pray? Because we're not weak. Because we don't need. I can fix it myself. I can do this myself. We are weak in him, but we will live with him by the power of God toward you. We're going to live with him. Where he's saying personally, but I think it's also an expression for us as well. When we're weak in Christ, he pours out his power. When we come to him and we allow him to meet the need that we have. Now, if you go over into Hebrews 11, you read about all these heroes of faith. And all this great stuff they did. Noah built an ark. Abraham offered Isaac, his son. You know, and just you just read about all these great things. But there's an interesting verse there in Hebrews 11, verse 34. He says, "They quenched the violence of fire, the three Hebrew boys. They escaped the edge of the sword. out of weakness were made strong. That's David. That's David. Out of weakness were made strong. And as many others as well. They were valiant in fight. They turned to flight the armies of the aliens. But I want us to notice something. All the heroes of faith that he holds up for us to learn from knew weakness. You know, you think, well, these guys were, you know, they had it all together. They were, no. Remember Elijah and the prophets of Baal? Or was it Elisha? I always was Elijah or Elisha? Elijah. And the prophets of Baal? Remember what happened when Jezebel said, by tomorrow, you're going to be just like the prophets of Baal? What happened to Elijah? He was scared to death. He wanted to get as far away from that woman as he could. But he just saw God do an awesome miracle and answer his prayer in miraculous ways, but he was weak. The strength that he had done those things in was the power of God. And God was able to restore power to him then as well. Now, we need to seek his strength. This is important. It's not something that we just automatically get. You know, it's just like muscles. You don't get them automatically. You got to go for them, right? Some of us are born with a bit more than others. But if we're going to develop them, we have to go for it. And that's what he's saying about finding strength in God. First Chronicles chapter 16, verse 11. Seek the Lord and his strength. That's instruction to us. Seek the Lord and his strength. And Psalm 105 verse 4 says the same thing. They're both saying the same words. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face forevermore. You want strength? Go for it. Go for it. Not go for it. Go for it. Seek it. Desire it. Want it more than anything else. But know that the only way it's going to happen is through weakness. And God may bring some weakness into your life in order that you might receive his strength. That's what happened to Paul, right? Thorn in the flesh. And he said, I'll glory in it because it makes me strong in Christ. Joy and strength. Nehemiah 8, verse 10. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Joy and strength are connected. And in Christ, they're also connected. If Christ is our joy, then he's also our strength. If he's not our strength, he's probably not our joy. Joy and strength have a very strong connection. It's interesting. If you go back to the children of Israel, forget which battle it was, but one of the battles that they were facing, they gave this tremendous shout of joy, and the enemy heard it. I mean, it just went across the hills. They were just, wow. They were so happy that the ark had come. I believe it was the Philistines. And they said, hey guys, these guys just got the ark of God in the middle of them. We are going to have to fight like we have never fought before. We're going to be dead. And they did and they won. God's providence, God's direction. But joy and strength is often connected. Now, there's a number of scriptures that talk about the Lord being our strength. And I'm not going to read all of these. Psalm 19, verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. A number of these are David. It's interesting when I was looking at these scriptures, the number of scriptures in Psalms that talks about the Lord as being strength is just amazing. don't near have them all up here. Psalm 27, verse 1, the Lord is the strength of my life. Psalm 29, verse 11, the Lord will give strength to His people. Psalm 46, verse 1, the Lord is our refuge and strength. Psalm 73, verse 26, God is the strength of my heart. Psalm 118, verse 14, the Lord is my strength. Isaiah 12, 2, the Lord Jehovah is my strength. Isaiah 26, 4, in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. And these just go on. God is our strength. Isaiah 40, 29 to 31, to them that have no might, He increaseth strength. In other words, they're helpless. They cannot do it. To those, He increases strength. But they have to come and admit to that. Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Mount up with wings as eagles, run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Sounds like strength to me, right? You run, not be weary, walk and not faint. That's strength. Habakkuk 3, verse 19, the Lord God is my strength. He'll make me to run. So, all of these scriptures are related to the Lord, our strength. Now, I want us to notice something. This is Paul over in Romans chapter 5, verse 6. And this is what God saw, what Christ saw in me, in you, way back when. When we were yet without Christ, Christ died for the ungodly. God saw in eternity past, God looked and He saw you and me without strength, without hope, without life, without anything worthwhile, without Christ. He saw us that way. And Christ came and died for us. Why did He die for us? Yeah, to forgive our sins. But why else did He die for us? Why did He die for us? He wanted to give us life. What else? What we're talking about. He wanted to give us strength. He wanted to give us strength. We were without strength, and He died for us so that we could have strength, is the implication that's here. His strength can be ours. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. To be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. That's His purpose. Paul's prayer for them. That God would give this to you. That you could be strengthened by His Spirit in the inner man. Do you want that? Do you long for that? Is that your desire? Do you cry out to God for that? God, I need You. I need You to give me compassion. I need You, Lord, to give me understanding. I need You, Lord, to give me strength and courage to do what I need to do in this situation. Is that what we cry for to God? Or are we always saying, God, I need a new car. God, I need a blah, blah, blah. Colossians 1, verse 11, strengthened with all might. And look what He says about this. According to His glorious power. And look what that produces. When we're strengthened with His power, what's going to happen to us? There's what He says. Patience, long-suffering, and joyfulness. Now, if you were to ask yourself, based on those three things, how much strength you have, patience, long-suffering, and joyfulness, where do you come out? Scale of 1 to 10. It's kind of scary, isn't it? Paul says, look, God wants to strengthen you, and that's going to result in certain things happening in your life. So what about it? How much strength do I really have? I want to close here with a couple of verses that Paul talks about. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 17. Paul is talking about how he was alone. He was facing a lot of difficulties. He faced prison. He faced, just this morning I read about how they stoned him there at Lystra and left him for dead. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. They left him for dead. God raised him up and sent him on to preach, that by me the preaching might be fully known, that all the Gentiles was here, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. So Paul is saying, look, it was tough. It was really tough. But the Lord strengthened me. He was right there with me. He didn't leave me or forsake me, just like he promised. He was there with me, and he gave me strength, and I was able to withstand and able to deal with all those situations that came my way. I was delivered out of them. And then he says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, and we often take this verse and we kind of mess it up. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And we're like, yeah, I can do this because I believe in Christ. Wait a minute. How do we get strengthened by Christ? What's the avenue? Through weakness. So before this can happen for me, before I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me, I have to be weak and be strengthened by Him, right? That's how this is going to happen. It's not going to happen because I'm saying, yeah, I can do this. No, I can't do this. I cannot do this unless the Spirit of God comes into my heart and fills me with His strength and His power. It's not going to happen. So it's not, we've kind of used this as a positive psychology kind of a verse. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. No, first, we come through weakness. And when we've come through weakness, then we can receive the power that He wants to give us, and we can go forth in strength, like the Apostle Paul. I don't know about you, but when I start looking at what all Paul faced, I'm like, you know what? After about one shipwreck and one beating, it's time to get out of here. Find a better place, right? No. He said, God, I can't do this. I can't handle this. And God said, here's strength. Here's strength. You can do this. I've called you. I'll give you the power and the grace and the strength that you need. I need Jesus because I need strength. And I confess this morning that I am weak. Unless the Spirit of God moves in my heart and gives me strength through Jesus Christ, I am not going to make it. Let's stand together for prayer. God, we thank you. We thank you for showing us so clearly in your word how weakness and strength work in your kingdom under your plan and purpose. And God, I confess to you that too often in my own life I've been strong. Strong emotionally, strong physically, strong spiritually. But Lord, I thank you for your grace and mercy and working in my heart, in my life, to help me to see how weak I really am. and how only in your strength am I able to accomplish. Only in your strength am I able to do anything of value. And Lord, I pray this morning that you work in each of our hearts. Strengthen us, Lord. Draw us to yourself. Show us our weakness, O God. And bring us to a place of yieldedness and submission and desire, Lord, for you to change us and make us what you want us to be. Help us, Lord, to seek your strength, to seek your face forevermore. We thank you. Dismiss us now with your blessing. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.